Almighty God, we want to thank you for a wonderful day like this to come into your presence. We know for sure that every time we come into your presence like this, you are set to bless us, you are set to touch us, you are set to transform our lives. My Father, my God, even as we hear you this morning, O Lord, change our lives for the better in Jesus' name. Lord, time in the hands of man is a limited commodity. That's why the psalmist said, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. My Father, my God, as many as are here this morning, you will teach us to number our days in Jesus' name. Lord, all of life is in your hands. It takes the working together of time, place, and opportunity to bring the best out of each and every one of us. Lord, as many as spend their time in your presence this morning, Father, everything will work together for their good in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last week we started looking at time and timeliness. So there's something called time, and there's something called timeliness. Of course, by the time we hear timeliness, it simply means that events and occurrences will sometimes require particular time. That's when we say it is timely. So when it is done at the appropriate time, or when they happen at the appropriate time, you will not miss your time in Jesus' name. Let's quickly open to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3, we're going to read verse 1 to 8. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. Can somebody read, please? Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. So I'm not the one doing everything. Yes.
A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace.
Praise the Lord. And our memory verse is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We went to town on that last week. So I'm not going to go to town on any of this stuff that we've just read, because we went to town on them last week. But the only thing that I think bears repeating that I'm going to talk about is that in relation to man, time is finite. In other words, time is limited. And we said last week that our time on earth is just like a window in the continuum of time in the hand of the Almighty God. So our own time, the 80 years, the 90 years, the 100 years, the 200 years you are going to spend on earth, is just a small window in the continuum of time in the hand of the Almighty God. And the other thing that I would like to tell us is this. In the lives of each and every one of us, in the lives of everyone here, there are also windows that things have to occur or have to happen. And those periods are very crucial and very important, such that if we miss them, we might miss. In fact, some people have missed their destiny as a result of that. You will not miss your destiny in Jesus' name. Some of us may not appreciate what time is like. I mean, the value of time and the need for certain things to occur at the time they ought to occur. As many of us know, I work in the country area. Where I work is called the wheat belt. The wheat, so wheat means, as the name goes, they produce a lot of wheat. Praise God. Some of the farmers have like 10,000 acres. Some have 20,000. Some have 30,000 acres. One single individual. Massive. For some farmers, just, they call it seeding, just seeding their farm costs them up to $1 million a year. Just planting seeds alone. At least I will talk about wheat that I know a bit about. What happens is this. If rain does not fall within that window that it ought to fall so they can seed, it may spell disaster for that year for some of them. I mean, how many of us know that suicide rates among farmers is quite high here? It's very high. Because when they lose, they are losing millions. So when we talk about seeding costing $1 million, some of those harvesters that they use for harvesting, do you know how much they cost? Some of them cost as much as $650,000. One. So not everyone is able to buy. So sometimes they rent. And you can imagine all the other things that goes with that. Some of those bales of, you know, after the wheat has been harvested, those bales of hay, those compactly packed hays, the big ones, some of them cost up to $80. So when they are sending ship to Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, all those things, they also export some of those hay that you see. So everything is money. Now, you can see the implication of the rain not falling when it's supposed to fall. Now, when the rain falls when it's supposed to fall, and everyone is happy that everything is okay, when it comes to the time of harvesting, if the rain falls when it's not supposed to fall, what happens? The quality of the product becomes so bad and nobody will buy it for anything. So in other words, there are windows that rain has to fall and there are windows that rain has to stop. And if they miss that period, it could ruin the whole year for them. I'm saying this as an illustration for us to understand how important time is for each and every one of us. Many opportunities are missed. But because we do not get the immediate consequence, we never realize or appreciate that those opportunities have been missed. And I've been talking about those of us from a particular part of the world. To us, time does not mean anything. If we get invited to a party, if the person says, my party is 5 o'clock, of course, we've taken it that, you know, they don't mean 5 o'clock. They probably mean 7 o'clock. So 5 o'clock is the time to go and shower. Praise the Lord. The invitation is for 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock is when we start to shower. So we'll finish, we'll make up by 6 o'clock. So we arrive there by 7, you know. Praise the Lord. 2 solid hours gone like that. Every area where we have wasted time, from today, we will not be time wasters anymore in Jesus' name. It's so important that the time that God has given us, we use that time very, very, very appropriately. And that takes me back to the message of last week. Preserving the gifts that heaven has given you. What was different between Jacob and Esau was that Jacob arrived early. At the point of blessing, he just arrived earlier than his brother. Of course, we know that the reason he arrived late was because some things have happened in the spiritual realm. The day the Bible said that he sold out his birthright, you will not sell out your birthright in Jesus' name. So, that's time in relation to man. Let's quickly look at time a bit more. Looking at busyness with no eternal investment. In other words, we can be busy and we may not be investing in heaven. Busyness with no eternal investment. That is also time wasting. So we may be busy and not investing in heaven. In fact, it is possible for us to be busy for God and it may be of no eternal value. Because the manner of our busyness has to be right for it to be of value. Can somebody open to 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. I want somebody with New Living Translation to read. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. New Living Translation to read. Because it will bring out the meaning very well. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. New Living Translation. Adeni, I think you've got New Living Translation. Where is he? Who else has New Living Translation? If you want me to read here, I will read. Okay, I will read my own. And if anyone enters competitive games, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully, that is fairly, according to the rules laid down. Do you have your New Living Translation now? He said, if anyone enters competition, they are not crowned. In other words, they are not blessed. They are not rewarded unless what? They do it lawfully according to laid down rules. So in other words, we can be busy for God. If we are not busy appropriately, if we are not doing what God is asking us to do, we will be busy for nothing. You are not going to be busy for nothing in Jesus' name. So the manner of our busyness is also very important, that we are doing what is right. Yes. And athletes cannot win the prizes unless they follow the rules. Praise God. So we can be busy for God if we don't follow the rules. If we are not doing it in obedience to God, to man, we may appear very busy. We may appear to be doing the right thing, but we have been told that we may not get any reward. You are going to be rewarded in Jesus' name. It also may not profit you eternally if you stay busy because of your ego. Let's look at Matthew 1:20. If the reason you are busy is because of your ego, what will people say? This is where I ought to be. I am a man of, you know, of repute. I have names, I have reputation, I have this. And the reason you are busy is for people to see you. You may not be rewarded. Matthew chapter 1:20 says, but as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of, that is from, out of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was in a dilemma. In order for God to remember him for good, his ego was at stake at that time. If you had a fiancée and you have not married and the fiancée got pregnant, you are in trouble. Joseph's ego had to go. He listened to the Holy Spirit. So when you come to serve God and you are doing it because this is what is expected of you, because people have to notice you, you are wasting time. Don't serve God because of your ego. Otherwise, it has no eternal value. As you know, activity and performance is commonly used to gauge people in this world today. That is why in the society we are in, people have no respect for elders. People have no what? No respect for elders. If you don't have respect for elders, is a terrible thing. Because the Bible says your longevity depends on your honoring your mother and your father. We live in a society that people are judged only by what they can produce. So which means once you retire, once you are no longer productive, people treat you anyhow. People have no respect for age. People have respect for, we used to call it kra. Eh? When you have kra. That's all people have respect for, what you can produce. As long as what you have, I have it, there's no respect for you. That is not the way for the children of God to go. The Lord will remember you to bless you in Jesus' name as you hear this. Because it's not all about how much you can make. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It's good for us to richly enjoy. I told us last week, everything has been provided for us to richly enjoy. But life is not about that. That's not all. You are more than that. You are bigger than that. You are greater than that. The Lord that fearfully and wonderfully made you had better plans for you than that. All those are additions. The influence you have, the money you have, your position, the additions. They are not the primary goal. So time. How we use our time. is so important that we use it appropriately, not just using it, but it has to be appropriate. So the right attitude is as important as your ability to perform. So our right attitude is as important as our ability to perform. So in the same vein, like I told us last week, because of same reason, I have in the past turned down invitations. If I think God is not going to be glorified there, I don't go for people to see me, because I'm afraid God can replace anybody. He can choose to. Look, let me tell you something. When Elijah started saying, "Lord, I'm the only one who is standing for you," God told him he was not the only one. With God, nobody is irreplaceable. The one who can make stones to rise to praise him, how much more to bring many more people that will come and worship him? Thank God you are alive to worship God today. I say, thank God you are alive to worship God today. The second reason why time spent may not be of eternal value is when we stay busy to cover our laziness. Do you hear that? Do you know it's possible for us to be busy as a way of covering our laziness? Eh? And we are really busy, but we are lazy. Praise God. If we are not busy in the right channels, me and my kids, you see, in my village, when your parents want to get angry with you, they say, "We are going to enter the same trousers." They know we enter the same trousers. When they choose to read novels instead of reading the proper books, when they are reading novels, are they not busy? Eh? But you are reading novels, you are busy, but you are covering your laziness. So, how does it apply to us? We may be running around, but that would not be a substitute to our spending time in prayer and reading the Bible. We may be running around on account of the things of God, oh, no doubt. It has to do with visiting the brethren. It has to do with welfare. It has to do with people making sure we are doing it for God. The Bible did not say, "Visit yourself to be approved unto God." What does the Bible say? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study to do what? To show yourself approved unto God. It didn't say, "Visit yourself approved unto God." No. Study to show yourself approved unto God. So the time we are supposed to actually sit down, read the word of God, meditate on it, and actually pray, if we spend it doing something else, it may not be of eternal value. Because, you know why? You can only regurgitate what is inside of you. Praise the Lord. The more of God that fills you is the more of God that will come out of you when you do your visitations. I'm not saying don't visit, or you know I visit as much as I can. But first of all, we have to be filled. We have to be filled. So it's possible to be busy as a way to cover our laziness in prayer and in studying the word of God. Can somebody read 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15? Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Praise the Lord. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you go to visit somebody, when you have studied the word of God, you will be dividing the word of truth with them. Let's look at Acts chapter 6, 1 to 7. Acts 6. So there's priority in life. I've always said it, not everything is of equal importance. No. Even with God. Acts 6, 1 to 7. Acts 6, 1 to 7. Can somebody read, please? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there will come a time, by the grace of God, when this church has expanded. It may not be possible for me and my wife to be the one who will visit everyone. It may not be possible for the pastor to personally meet the need of each and every person. So there may be murmuring, there may be people who will say, this has not been done, that has not been done. But the apostle says something. Go on. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. In the daily ministration, in the service, in giving food, in looking after welfare, in taking care of people, they felt that their own group was neglected. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yep. It is not reason that we should do what? Leave the word of God, yes? And begin to serve tables. Okay, please, let's leave it there. We know the rest of the story. But the apostles had to order their priority. And I keep telling us, if you know you have been called of God, if you know you are a child of God, you must have priorities in life. For some of us, our relationship with people is more important than our relationship with God. We have to redefine our priority. He said, look, it's not appropriate for us to leave the word of God, the preaching and the prayer, and our preaching and our prayer, our study of the word of God, and to begin to serve tables in the order of things. Let's get our priorities right. As many of us as are not getting our priorities right, the Lord will order your footsteps from today in Jesus' name. I said the Lord will order your footsteps from today in Jesus' name. You know, a lot of times what we like is this. We want to organize the things of God around our own activities rather than arranging our activities around the things of God. When my kids have to go to some places and they tell us the day when it's going to happen, we tell you, look, on so-so day, this is where we ought to be. If you choose to forget, that's your business, but every week, you know this is where we ought to be. We have to arrange our lives around the things of God, not arranging the things of God around our lives. God will help us in Jesus' name. So, because we can be busy with no eternal value. The third reason for eternal ineffective use of time is because of greed. I've already quoted from Luke 12:15 that says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. Let's read from Matthew 6:19-21. Matthew 6:19-21. So we may be, this greed can take the form of materialism, hunger for power and praise, prestige, position, possession, and security. Because I've suffered before, I just have to make sure that tomorrow I can never lack again. So I work myself to the bones. I work until I kill myself, and I have no time for the things of God. You know? It's part of greed. Matthew 6:19-21. I'm not saying please be lazy. Matthew 6:19-21. Mhm. Mhm. Lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Yes. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Praise the Lord. We've flogged that over and over again. Most of us already know where our hearts are, don't we? We all know where our hearts are. If you don't pay your tithes, if you don't give to the things of God, if you don't spend time in His presence, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray, you know where your heart is. Because where your heart where your treasure is where your heart is. Where you spend your time, spend your money and your energy is where your heart is. We all know that. So, if we are doing what we are doing because of greed, if we are running church because of greed, so people can see us, we are wasting our time. We will not waste our time in Jesus' name. Fourthly, your busyness may be eternally ineffective if you are busy to please men rather than God. In line with this, I want to admonish us Christians, we must learn to say no. We must learn to say no to ungodliness. There are some things you don't use wisdom for. When you try to use wisdom to manage it, you only get yourself into trouble. The word you have spoken is what they are going to use to catch you when the time comes. No is a very, very good word to say. Did somebody hear that? No, capital no, N-O, is a good word to say when people are drawing you to something that is ungodly. Please have the courage to say no. It's so important. Sometimes we try to manage it. We say, okay, let me go and pray about it. You know you are not going to pray. Even though you are going to pray, you know it's ungodly. Who do you think will answer your prayer? He will not answer you. Because you know the word of God says it's not appropriate, it's not right. If you tell somebody you are going to pray about it, you know that that person will be expecting to hear from you. And then he will put pressure on you and then you compromise a little. Please, we used to sing a song in primary school. Wherever you go, wherever you be, do not say yes when you mean to say no. Praise the Lord. Because it's so vital. So in our service, it must not be to please men. It must not be to please men. Because if we do it to please men, there's no reward there. The Lord will reward you in Jesus' name. That is why Psalm 1 verse 1 talks, it makes a distinction between the godly and the ungodly. The ungodly seeks to please men. He will stand in the council of the ungodly. He will sit in the seat of discomfort. All those who make mockery of the things of God, all those who make light of the things of God, they make jest with the things of God. That's what they reduce it to, jokes. Don't be in their company. That's what the Bible is telling you. So don't do it to please men. If somebody says it and it's funny and you know they want to rope you into it, just turn your back. Leave that place. There are people, before you know it, there's a way they start it. You have what was said in church today. I'm sure you are already. They know you are going to respond. They know. They are going to use your answer to start a gossip with you. So better say no. God will help us in Jesus' name. So, our time must be spent to achieve the goal of glorifying God. Just as we close, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. The use of our time must be to glorify God. Somebody to read quickly, please. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whatsoever you do, praise the Lord. So if you eat, if you wear clothes, so if you dress, so if you are going out, if you are coming in, if you are giving something to somebody, if you are rendering help, if you are praying, whatever you do, do all to what? To the glory of God. If it's not directed at glorifying God, it's a waste of time, my brother, my sisters. It's so important. The primary aim of Christianity is not personal development or personal enhancement. I keep telling people, The primary aim, although people have turned into that, the primary aim of Christianity is not what? It's not personal development. It's not how to run 20 companies and be successful. The primary aim of Christianity is not how to, you know, how to run the whole world and be successful. That is not true. Anyone who tells you that, they are misleading you. It's an addition. If God now gives you the opportunity as a result of your faithfulness to run 100 companies, praise God. When God is your primary goal, when glorifying Him is your primary goal, when the riches come, when the blessings come, you will not leave God. But if your primary goal is how to run 20 companies, so you come to the pastor, you come to church because you know that you get motivated. Let me tell you, when the riches starts to come, you will stop coming to church. Because your goal has been achieved. Am I right? After your goal has been achieved, what do you want in church? But if your primary goal is to glorify God, when God has blessed you, you will use that, the riches, to glorify God even the more. I told you of a preacher who was making about, in the 80s, was making, I'm going by the of the dog, wagging the tail. And he derailed. You will not derail in Jesus' name. So how we use our time is so important. It's not for personal development, it's for glorifying God. And then God will develop you. Praise the Lord. There's no way you will spend the time in the presence of God and God will not develop you. I was here yesterday. I told my wife the testimony I had. You know, I spent time in His presence. I read the book of Ezekiel again. It just had a different meaning to me. Honestly, it's like I've never read that book before in my life. Matthew 6:33, so that we can start, we can pray. Matthew 6:33. Somebody read. Praise the Lord. So, okay, that's a version. And I like the King James Version that says, seek ye first. So first thing first, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all the other things will be added. The companies you want to control, the fame you want to have, the influence you want to wield, all these other things. Look, let me tell you something. When your time comes, nobody can bottle you up. Did you hear somebody? I said, when your time comes, nobody can cover you up in Jesus' name. Who knew the son of the carpenter for how many years? 30 years. Nobody knew him. You know who I'm talking about. For 30 years, who knew him? He was in the back corner. Nobody knew him. But within 3 years, and after 2,000 years, people are still talking about him till today. After you have spent time in the presence of God, nobody can cover your destiny, because God will reveal you to the world in Jesus' name. So our time has to be used, and used appropriately. And God will glorify Himself in your life in Jesus' name. Can we just rise up? We'll rise up this morning. And pray to God and say, Father, just teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart to wisdom. Teach me to number my days indeed, that I may apply my heart to wisdom. God, teach me to number my days. I want to indeed apply my heart to wisdom, because the time I spend is meant to glorify you. I will never be a time waster again in Jesus' name. Everything that I do will be geared towards glorifying you, O God. Everything that I do or say will be geared towards magnifying you. From today, O Lord, the spirit of excellence is upon me. I'm wise with my time. I'm redeeming every time that I've lost to the glory of your name. Pray, speak to the Lord this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the time we have spent here this morning to talk about the use of our time in glorifying you. Lord, we pray that after serving you the way we are doing, oh Lord, that we will not be one of those that you will reject, but we will be one of those that you will acknowledge and reward in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, let the mark of your approval be upon us from today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Teach us to serve you in a way that is acceptable in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Amen.